broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
The point streak may be over, but we've started a new one. Two in a row, Tampa Bay. Happy Friday, JoeBucksFan.com. Is it a happier place this week? Bruce Arians is the coach. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator. Dirk Cutter's out. Are we a happy place at JoeBucksFan.com? I hope so. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford on the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. Tampa Bay Lightning hockey continues to be a positive storyline. It's just, this has been one of the pleasant things of my sporting fall and spring year. You know, typically I consider the sports season to begin anew once we get to about August and September. That's when college football kicks off. It's when the NFL starts. It's when hockey starts. And then in spring and summer, that's championship season. It's the end of the year. For the Bolts, they've won two out of the three since we last spoke. 6 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning. We grabbed four of them. And last night it felt like, oh man, is 1-0 going to be the final here? But we do beat Carolina with a late surge. 2 goals plus an empty netter. They all count the same. We beat the Hurricanes 3-1 last night. On Tuesday, it was a 4-0 romping of Columbus. We survive a second period where we are thoroughly outplayed, but we bookend that with two strong performances in the first and final 20 minutes, win that game 4-0. And then this past Saturday, January the 5th, it closed out our three-game road swing, a 5-2 loss at the hands of the San Jose Sharks. We'll start with that one briefly because it ended the streak. The Sharks played an excellent game. This is something that we have to get used to. Whatever version you see of a team in the standings, when you see the statistic reports, all that stuff, that's not the version of the NHL team that's going to be playing against us on most nights. It's going to be the best version, the best possible version of every team that we see. San Jose came out. They checked hard. They clogged between the circles. I think they did a really good job of clogging that area. Not a bunch of clear shooting lanes. They're a big team. They're not what we are. We're more physical this year. And I looked at the stats this morning. Hits per game, Tampa Bay's in the top 10 in the NHL. I would never have expected that, but we are in the top 10 in that department in terms of physicality across the National Hockey League. I knew we were better, but not that good. But we're not that big, and San Jose is. And so I think we were a little beleaguered. Andre Vasilevsky gave up a couple of softies, and we lose that game 5-2. No big deal, right? I mean, come on. You're not going to win all the way through the end of April. And we followed that effort up coming back home. I think we do a really good job of this. When we come back from a road trip, we come back motivated to play strong, to play a complete game, and to not let that one get away. And the first period against Columbus was certainly that type of statement. We fell asleep a little bit in the second, but the first period against the Blue Jackets, very strong, take a 2-0 lead to the intermission on our way to a 4-0 win. Survive that second period like I talked about. And then last night, Carolina played an awesome game. They were winners of 5 straight coming into Amalie Arena, and they do a good job, man, of clogging the neutral zone, making it really tough to pass the puck, get it out of your zone in transition. We're so used to almost like a free release in football, getting that's usually for a tight end or a slot receiver. You don't want to give them a free release because once they get into their route, man, it's really tough to stop them. And Carolina did not let us get out of our own defensive zone with much freedom at all. So last night was a struggle, but we fought through that struggle, and the turning point clearly, no pun intended, was the goal wiped away. Braden Point on a breakaway, a unbelievable feed. I mean, a truly spectacular pass from Matthew Joseph in a 4-on-4 situation. Springs Braden Point. His first shot is stopped. The rebound from Mrazek in the air. Braden Point bats it out of the air. And he intended to do it all the way. Off of his blade to the back of the net it went. It looked like a regular shot. The way he followed through was not a guesswork job. It was pure skill. However, the tying marker at that point was wiped away because Tyler Johnson's skate was offside as he was making a line change. The building got angry, and the team woke up at that point. And that's something about last night where I thought, in a way, we escaped, but there was also a lot of positive emotions from a victory like that because you worked through a slump. You worked through a lull within the course of 60 minutes. Flatly speaking, Tampa Bay was asleep for the first 20 last night. Shot advantage for Carolina was 12-3, and that indicated how much offense we were producing. It was a lot about get the puck in deep, but what can you do with it? Can you cycle? Can you get it in front of the net? Can you get good scoring chances? The answer was no on all fronts. We look tired. We look like it's getting towards the dog days. Maybe we're looking forward to the All-Star break, which is coming up in a short period of time. But I think our legs were not obviously with us. That all changed in the second period once the crowd got really mad about that call and Braden Point's goal was wiped away. And from about, I don't know, what was that? The halfway point in the second period through the end of the game, we skated hard. We were the better team. We ended up outshooting Carolina for the game after trailing 12-3 through a period. We took over everything, all three zones, on our way to a 3-1 win. Two power play goals keyed that, of course, the Andre Palat shot that ties the game at one. I don't think there is such a thing as an 85-degree wedge, but it looked like he cut right underneath the puck as you would if you had a wedge around the green that was close to 90 degrees. And that thing rolls in at about 2 miles an hour. Ties the game up. What a relief that is. Rick Peckham's going crazy. Brian Engblom's loving it. And then, of course, Braden Point one-timer from Nikita Kucherov. Another two-point night for 86. Braden Point scores the game-winning goal. Close it out with an empty netter. 91 passes to 21. Braden Point, his second goal of the night. 28 for the season. And Tampa Bay grabs a 3-1 victory as we head on the road. This is a tough stretch for Tampa. You could understand why we might be a little dead-legged. We're playing 13 of 19 on the road. We're right in the midst of that. We went 4 games out to Canada, 2 games at home. 3 games out west, 2 games at home. Now we go on the road to Buffalo. Next day, both 7 o'clock starts. We go to Buffalo, followed by going to Brooklyn to play the Islanders. And then on Tuesday, it's to Dallas before we play 2 at home, followed by 3 more on the road. So there you go. 13 out of 19 on the road. We're handling our business. And I like to say this every single week, people. Once we get to 10, I'll stop. Every team in the National Hockey League across the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, they all have at least 12 regulation losses. Tampa Bay, just 8 regulation losses in 44 games. 8 times have we been told, I award you no points. May God have mercy on your standing. We still average over 4 goals a game. We've got 183 for the season through 44 games played. And a cool note on Nikita Kucherov here. Nikita's doing some things that we have not seen in close to 25 years, everybody. I know it. They showed it last night on Sun Sports. The NHL is on pace to have 12 100-point scorers this year. Last season, there were 3. The 2 previous seasons, 1 apiece. So goal scoring is up across the board. But point production is not up like Nikita Kucherov is doing right now across the board. He's doing scary things. Nikita Kucherov, per NHL PR, is the 10th different player in NHL history to accumulate 50 assists within his team's first 43 games of the season. Just the 10th all-time across all eras, the 70s and the 80s, when 5 and 6 goal performances for each team, common occurrence. This is the first time since 1995-1996 that a player has accumulated 50 assists or more within his team's first 43 games. In 1995-1996, when this was done, the 4 players who did it, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, Ron Francis, all Hall of Famers. Truly, Tampa Bay, we are making history. I'm going to go short this first segment this week because I want to talk about a comment I saw on the JoeBucksFan.com message board, the comments section underneath last week's podcast. It's a talking point that includes the coaching staff. And this is something we haven't touched on very much, but we've had some new assistants enter the fray this year, and they've only improved our standing in a couple of key areas. Penalty kill being one of them, but there's another one that's a signature mark of a former player's career who stands next to John Cooper now on the Tampa Bay Lightning bench. But before we do take that break, a message from our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford is now giving away a 65-inch television with every vehicle purchase. New general manager Sean Sullivan wants you to watch all the Bolts games and the NFL postseason in style and enjoy a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Only at Bill Curry Ford. Just a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom is always a great experience. Start shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. Market improvements in more than just the standings. Tampa Bay's got 70 points, the only other team in the NHL to have 60 or more. The Calgary Flames, they've got 60. We are doing some incredible things, but how are we doing it? Why are we doing it? That next on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Off to Buffalo, Tampa Bay goes, and then it's the New York Islanders on Sunday. The Islanders are playing really good hockey right now. Everybody we play seems to be on a roll, but that's okay. We take on all comers in Tampa, suffering just the 8 regulation defeats through 44 games. This is a fun time. A couple more thoughts on the Carolina game last night before I get into my point about the assistant coaches, one in particular. Eric Chernak, he had the 4th assist on Tampa Bay's first goal. You know why? He drew the penalty that allowed for us to go on the power play and even the game up at 1. It was a huge 2 minutes that he drew. Last night featured some interesting things. First of all, Carolina is full of players that like to embellish when there's something close to a foul, close to a two-minute minor. Aho gets his hands flying around. That was the second time that we took a penalty just at the start of our own power play. Stamkos gets his stick right around the midsection of Aho. Might have been a little bit lower, but good Lord, if he doesn't throw his hands up in the sky like he's wacky waving inflatable balloon man. And the referee sees it and assesses us a two-minute penalty. It's a total dive. I think it's one of those moments where you probably assess 2 minutes to both parties, Stamkos for a violation and Aho for just looking like a clown. But kudos to Eric Chernak, because once a stick came up around his hands in the offensive zone in the third period, he decided, oh, my feet are failing underneath me. We get a power play. We score a goal. Eric Chernak's offensive instincts, Brian Engblom circled this last night in the broadcast, they're coming to life. He generated the best chance of the period before he drew the penalty. It was some work he did to the offensive zone right-hand circle, as you're looking at it from the offensive perspective. Skating down into the circle, looks for Tyler Johnson. First pass is rejected. He stays with it, and then he feeds Johnson in the slot for a high percentage chance that Peter Mrazek stopped. But Chernak is a player, and as long as his feet are still with us in April and May, he is a big piece to the equation. As far as the defensive rotation, Sergachev sat out last night. I didn't like that very much because he's been playing a lot better of late. You can see the confidence in his skating after he scored his first goal of the season. That was one to tie the game in San Jose on Saturday. And he makes a hell of a play on Tuesday night to key a goal. That was the Columbus game. I mean, you've seen it before. It looks slow moving, and yet people always fall for it. So it's got to be quicker than we give it credit for with the blind eye. But Sergachev at the point makes moves that you just don't see other defensemen routinely make. Maybe Erik Karlsson, but I don't know. For a 19, 20-year-old kid, he has incredible instincts and smooth feet. And he was skating with a lot of confidence, but he drew the assignment to watch from the press box last night as Tampa Bay is shuffling players in and out. You know, when I see Girardi and Coburn together on the ice, even if it's for just a couple of shifts, I think, why do we have this group of six out there? Sergachev, if he's going to play like he has the last few games, he's a piece of the puzzle that you have to have out there. Second power play, he's really good. And then, of course, if he's playing with confidence in the offensive zone, 5-on-5, he's a good player. So I get it. We've got to go through some moments where we don't like who's sitting on the bench, or I should say sitting in the press box. That's the problem of depth in an organization. I've lamented for a long time that Slater Cuckoo can't find time on the ice. But if you're sitting Sergachev on a given night, that's how deep you are. there are going to be frustrating moments because you do need to keep everybody fresh as much as you possibly can. Eric Chernak can stay in the lineup for me, though. He's pretty close to untouchable. Unless you're trying to manage his minutes for the postseason, I don't think there's a reason you need to sit 81. Another thing from last night, I thought Andre Vasilevskiy continued what was a resurgence this week for him. The two-game homestand, he gives up just the one goal. A good story by Joe Smith in The Athletic. This is Smitty 7. It's a feature he does. It's a pay site. And I do recommend you spend the $5 a month because it's coverage for all sports. But Joe Smith does a good job with his features for the Lightning. And he noted that Andre Vasilevskiy, after the loss to San Jose, was flatly pissed off. And so he was seen doing crunches in the hallway after playing the game. Usually that's a time when people are taking a break. But there was Andre, mad as ever, because his focus wasn't where it needed to be, or at least the results weren't, and he got right back to work. You love to hear when you have somebody who has skill, has a work ethic to go with it, and that's what Vasilevskiy brings to the table. So on to the post by Herb, who is a frequent poster on the JoeBucksFan.com splash page for this podcast, and it was in response to last week's pod, which was, largely positive, and he says, I would add that John Cooper deserves credit for upping his game over the last year. He has the team humming, and his new assistants Halpern and Lalonde seem to be fitting in nicely. Watching Lalonde and Frangin, that's goaltending coach Frangin, interact on Wired for Sound on Bolts TV shows just how loose this organization is right now. That's a clip from back in October. I would agree with that, Herb, but October you can afford to be a little bit more loose than this time of the season. He also notes, but I think what I like most are guys like Chernak, Cirelli, Paquette, Gord, and Ernie who are sending a message they aren't going to be pushed around. 100% echo those sentiments before I get back to the first point. Yes, I noted it in the first segment. I was surprised to see that it's number 7 in total hits so far in the National Hockey League this season, but teams have played different amounts of games. So if you want to adjust for hits per game, which it does not do on the NHL's website, roughly speaking, we are in the top 10 in the sport across the league in physicality, in putting a body on a body, and you gotta love that. Some of that speaks to the amount of time that we play our third and fourth liners because of our depth. We're playing from ahead a lot, so you can play the checking forwards. But make no mistake, even Stamkos, Kucherov, those guys are back-checking. Having Andre Palat in the lineup, of course, adds an element of physicality in the top six. And the stat, Andre Palat, in 28 games this year, the Lightning have lost 4 times. In 28 games he's played this year, the Lightning has lost in regulation only twice. Just 2 times. 28 games, 56 points available when Andre Palat is in the lineup this year, not injured. We have grabbed 50 points in those situations. That's absurd. Jeff Halpern, a former Tampa Bay Lightning player, largely made his mark in the NHL for the Washington Capitals. I always liked watching him. This is where I can show my increasing age a little bit. I had season tickets back in the day when Jeff Halpern was a center for us. He was a good penalty killer, and you could always count on him for faceoffs. And that is an area this year where we have come leaps and bounds from where we were just a season ago. You could flash back to moments last year, all the way back to the 2015 season, where it's just an understood that we were going to lose a fair share of the draws. And it's really annoying, because when we have the puck on our stick, we're a dangerous hockey club. But for whatever reason, we were hamstrung in the circle. Tyler Johnson was our best guy for the most part those years. But now you have a plethora of options that are above 50% in terms of winning faceoffs. Steven Stamkos has improved steadily in his career. He's hovered around 52% the last 2 seasons. Of course, 2 years ago, he only played a handful of games, so you can kind of toss that information out. Last year, he climbed to 52%. This year, he's in the mid-55s, which puts him in the top 10 to 12 across all centermen in the league. Tony Cirelli in his first full year in the NHL, 51%. Cedric Paquette, 51%. Braden Point is now eking closer to 50%. He was at 47% last year. This is Jeff Halpern's impact on the Lightning. There is no doubt in my mind. Seen a couple of video features, again, on Fox Sports Sun, where Jeff Halpern is working with the guys in the faceoff circle, giving them tips, little tricks of the trade. We are so much better, in fact, that after last regular season, we ranked 27th in the league at 48.2% in the faceoff dot. This year, we are up to 13th in the league. We are at 50.5% in the faceoff dot. Tampa Bay has improved a full 2.3% in the faceoff circle through 44 games this year, of course. And everybody, save for about two players, one of which is Tyler Johnson, JT Miller hasn't taken enough draws, has improved significantly in the faceoff circle this year. Of course, Tyler is drawing more shifts on the wing, so usually when he comes in, it's because somebody gets kicked out of the dot. But everybody's getting better in the faceoff circle for Tampa Bay. And given how dangerous we are, as I've said, possessing the puck, that's a huge deal. So Jeff Halpern has been a massive impact on this staff. I don't think it's any coincidence that the penalty kill has gotten better with Halpern as well. Derek Lalonde is awesome. We'll play some audio from Derek Lalonde in the coming weeks. That video from October, Herb, is really good. And once again, thank you for the feedback. If you want a feedback on the Joe Bolts Fan podcast, it's available every week. There's a splash page, joebucksfan.com. And there's a comment section underneath. You can also find me on social media. It's Twitter. I don't really like Twitter all that much, but for hockey conversation, it's A-OK. @_TomLang is where you can find me. But there it is. I mean, Tampa Bay is much better in the faceoff circle. We're better in the penalty kill this year. Defensively speaking, I think it comes and goes. But it looks like the forwards have a greater understanding of what it is and where they're supposed to be, scheme-wise, in the defensive zone. Lalonde has had an impact on that. And the power play is fantastic. Year two of Todd Richards being the guy who mainly installs the power play. It is a lonely place at the top for the Bolts. I do feel a little bit of the push where, man, are we going to waste all of our energy on the regular season? And are we going to have anything left in the tank in the postseason? But, I mean, you just watch these games night by night and you see the balance that we have. We're rolling four lines out there still. Like I said earlier, we're rotating in a bunch of defensemen that we've got to sit people that are really talented and would be the envy of another team's top four just about every single night. So I think things should continue down this path. With that said, it's going to be a really tough week ahead. Buffalo tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop up in Buffalo, New York. Then in Brooklyn on Sunday, a 7 o'clock puck drop against the New York Islanders, who are hot and they're scoring a lot of goals. Barry Trotz is an excellent coach and he has them going, playing above their heads. Tuesday, we see likely Ben Bishop out in Dallas. So a tough road trip. And then we come home Thursday to play Toronto. So between now and next episode on January 18th, we have a whole lot to talk about. As it stands now for the Lightning, though, 70 points and 12 clear of the Maple Leafs. Toronto does have a game in hand. There should be a lot to discuss and chew on next week. If the Lightning slump, I wouldn't be shocked. It looks like all of this road tripping is starting to catch up to them a little bit. But we shall see. If they respond to the physical challenge like they did last night against Carolina, then who's to say they can't do so this weekend as we play back-to-backs? We'll see which game Louis Domingue plays. Louis will be back in the goal for us either Saturday or Sunday. That should be interesting. But at any rate, times are good, Tampa Bay. I hope you enjoy another nice weekend. The weather is beautiful up here in Tallahassee. I hope it's the same for you down there in the Bay Area. Shout out to my folks who are in Palm Harbor. Hope you're hanging out and having a good weekend yourselves, guys. And I'll leave you with a little bit of music this week because I am in such a good mood, and I hope you guys are too. This is a band that's near and dear to my heart called Israel Nash. They're a good band to play when you're just driving. It's a long drive. You're going over the Causeway or you're going over the Gandhi. And you just want to listen to something and lose yourself for a little bit as you drive. Israel Nash is one of those perfect bands for that type of playlist. And I'll give you something from their 2016 KEXP session out in Seattle. Once again, Israel Nash, if you like him, give him a listen a little bit more. Talk to you next week, everybody, and thanks again to our friends at Bill Curry Ford.
It's Monday afternoon, rock and roll. It's great. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. show. Going uptown to the apartment. Catch me a glimpse, old Jimmy Brown. Someone told me that he had just died. I lowered my head and I started to cry. I stood on 125th Street and I said, "We'll sing it loud, I'm black and proud." Oh my baby. Pour me out just like sour wine. I've got the money if you got the time. I was talking to truck stop Betty. She was wringing her hands and they was awful sweaty. She said her mother died in Brooklyn just yesterday. And I said, "Betty, you just hold your horses, 'cause soon they're gonna be changing courses. And we can live out in the Montana rain. It's a great place to raise the kids. Oh my baby. Take your worries and put fat of them. Pour me out just like sour wine. I got the money, you got the time." Here we go. Sour wine. I got